like the old maid that was proposed to. This is all unexpected. And believe me, I'd just soon hear you tonight. I'm drying cracker dust myself.
Come on, brother. That's all right.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know it or not, but tonight you heard a great sermon.
Amen.
It's great biblically. It's great homiletically. But the greatest part about it is great because it had some unction and anointing. Preached in power and demonstration of the Spirit. And preaching like that don't come easy. Somebody had to spend some time with the Lord.
Yes, sir, right.
And get that zeal. That zeal means boiling hot.
Right.
And oh, how we need more of that when God's men just stand and having done all, stand anyway and be boiling hot. The only way Satan can get anything from us is we back off. It's already, the battle's been won.
That's right.
The territory has been conquered.
Amen.
The flag of Jehovah Nissi is flying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus has the keys to death and hell.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's good preaching. I like that. Come on.
And Satan is in a bad shape as the Democratic Party. And the only way the only way he can get any advantage is when God's people do not stand on that which the Lord has already procured and purchased for them. Turn with us tonight to Isaiah 42. The Lord and the Apostle Paul preached more out of Isaiah than any other book. Isaiah was golden tongue, anointed. I read one book and I say that's the greatest. I read another and I say that's the greatest. I read the other night where it said the scripture foresaw something about Pharaoh. And I turned in the Old Testament and where the scripture foresaw, in the Old Testament it said the Lord. And you cannot separate the Lord from this book. And when you hear some little lick spittle, and that's what they are. You can tell they're evolutionists, they're always aping somebody. And when they use one of these New Age books, and I know a little bit of Greek, I had to look it up. And I know the scripture teaches that a divorcement in Greek is biblion apostasia. It means Bible apostasy. It means someone's been stepping out on someone. And when you see someone that's got the ASB or New ASB or New King James or the NIV or some of these other versions, you can just put it down. They've been stepping out on the Lord. Because in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. Someone said, how could Jesus Christ, where the Scripture said, unto us, a child is born,
exactly.
Unto us, a son is given. How could he be the same in the beginning if he's the son? And God's the father. Well, that's simple. You cannot be a father till you have a son. And you can't be a son until there is a father. And you just can't separate this book from God. Isaiah 42. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, and he does. Mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, thank God. I've seen the time I thought I couldn't take any more. I've been bruised all that flesh and blood and nerve and muscle could take. But somehow, he upholds his servant. Somehow, when there's no strength, he gives strength. And sometime when it's all desert and your soul is thirsty and dry, and the road is hot and weary, we find an oasis out of nowhere with the palm trees and the cool, fresh and water, don't we? And the smoking flax shall he not quench. Some of you fellers have been broken. God will never use anyone until he breaks them. You're outcast of the brethren. They don't think you should preach. Because your ability to preach with anointing makes them look foolish. And therefore, the only refuge they've got is to be like some old bully boy that's messed his pants. He can stand off and yah-yah at you.
Yes, ma'am, brother. Well, glory, brother. Praise God.
He shall bring forth judgment unto truth.
Yeah, amen.
He shall not fail, nor be discouraged.
Yes,
and that's what I want to speak to you, just a short while. And don't let me go over just a few minutes, because I know you've got things. He shall not fail. The Lord had died, then buried him. Sad time, because their role model, their hero, was gone. Today, everyone's talking about we need role models. We need heroes. But I'm glad, thank God, we've got one. And I don't want another. I've never found anyone as precious as he is. After 42 years, my heart still burns because of him. And he's more precious than anyone that I know. And he's fairer than 10,000 to my soul. And when this whole world hath left me alone, and it looked like that I was down in the root and couldn't get out and over in the side ditch and had been swamped, I know who it was that came in the night with stones, and when I was wounded, he came with the balm of Gilead. And I know that when friends and foe and familiar ones had left me, And I couldn't do nothing but weep, thank God. I'm grateful for him that came, that said, I'll never leave you and never forsake you. And so that's the way that Peter and the disciples must have felt. I'm by myself. I'm alone. I know what I'll do. I'll go fishing. And that night they went fishing. And all night long they fished. And they caught nothing. Man, they failed. They failed. But the Bible said, but when the morning was come, Christ stood on the shore. And thank God it soon be, this old night will be over. And all it seems I've ever done was fail him. But when the sun comes up, there he'll be. Hallelujah. He shall not fail. I'm glad that in Jesus Christ, he has an unfailing greatness. I've had a lot, and you've seen a lot of the brethren, and they fail. God will see to it that they fail. Just as sure as you begin to trust in the arm of flesh, God will let the arm of flesh fail you, that you might lean more heavily on him and listen to him and follow him. I don't like a lot of things about Billy Graham. A few things I do like. I know he preached the gospel in simplicity to sinners. I don't like the crowd he runs with. I don't like some of the things of theology. I could never call the Pope brethren or Martin Luther King a brother in the Lord. I couldn't do that. But God lets even the greatest of the great fall. Tonight a brother preached on how David fell, that sweet singer. Man, a man after God's own heart. A man whose heart burned like no one ever burned over God and the glory of God. And out there somewhere, you and I, if we don't watch, we'll fail. But tonight we've got one that we can proclaim and we can live and we can preach. And it's him that we preach. It's not us. Paul said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man, that we might present every man perfect in the Lord. And when the brethren let us down, he'll never let us down. We can still preach him. He has an unfailing greatness. Well, there's not a military hero in the history of this old world that can stand like him. There's not a king, nor a governor, nor a president that could even come one iota to the height of the Lord Jesus Christ, because there's none as great as him. We had a great thing in the Constitution of the United States. It's a shame they don't pay any attention to it anymore. But there's never been a Constitution as great as the mandate for his kingdom he set up in the 4th and 5th and 6th and 7th chapter of Matthew, that one day he'll sit on the throne and with a rod of iron he'll see that it's fallen. There's never been a civilization set up or governed that ran as long as his 1,000 years millennial reign is going to last, and it goes out into eternity and on into the eon. Solomon was great in his wisdom. Someone back in the hill said he must have been a great farmer. Said he had 300 wives and 700 combines. Yes. It's written that the half was not been told. Someone said, with all those wives, it looked like more than the whole would have been told. Queen of Sheba came to visit one time, and she wanted to see something of his kingdom and find out of his wisdom, and she gave him some hard things to do, and she wanted a glass of water that came not from heaven above or from the earth beneath. And immediately he put some fellows on horses and rode them till they lathered and with their sweat. And he got a goblet of sweat, a glass of water that didn't come from heaven above or from earth beneath. Brought forth 10 boys and 10 girls that was dressed alike, looked alike, and asked him to tell them apart. And immediately he asked for 20 basins of water. And he told them apart because the girls pushed up their sleeves and the boys rolled theirs up. To give him a diamond that had a hole in it that was so crooked you couldn't thread it, and asked him to thread it. And he got a little measuring worm, tied a thread around it, and he wiggled through there and threaded it. He was pretty smart. But I tell you, there's one that can unlock the heart, whose words, man, it can discern the thoughts and the intent of every heart that's here tonight. And he has an answer to every problem that you'll ever face. And he has an unfailing greatness. Thank God for the greatness of the Lord. Not only does he have an unfailing greatness, he's an unfailing redeemer. I read over there in 3 chapters in Acts where once we find a man of one race was saved, next chapter a man of another race, and the next chapter a man of another race. And I'm telling you, he's able to save not only out of them all, but able to save them all. And when he died, he died for all. Yeah, I never could get in that thing that God only died for some. I've heard some folks say that back yonder before the world, that they were in Christ. And they got out of Christ and got in Adam. Then they got out of Adam and got back in Christ. Well, if I was like that, I'd be as nervous as a one-legged woman at a high-kicking contest, being afraid that I'd get out again. Nobody got in Jesus before the foundation of the world. He didn't have a body to get into until he was born over 2,000 years ago. But I'm glad he's an unfailing redeemer. I'm glad he can take care of the sin problem no matter how great, how terrible it was and it is. I believe that the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. I don't believe he left a one out. I believe that every one of them, Jesus died for the sin of the world. And I believe if maybe your home been broken, you've been divorced, I believe the blood of Jesus cleansed from that too. Amen. And you stand as though you had never committed a sin in Him. Amen. And you've got imputed to you the righteousness of the Son of God. Yeah. And in the judiciary halls of heaven, it's declared that you've been justified because He rose for our justification. And the Bible says, and if God be for us, who can be against us? Who's going to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus? You find Him.
That's right.
Who is the disputer that can raise up that has enough oratory and know enough grammar and enough speech and enough words to confound God, that God Almighty has already declared they're just as if they'd never committed a sin?
Amen. Right.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
I read over in Psalm 103 where he says, as far as the east is from the west, he's put our sin. They're out of reach. I read in Isaiah 38:17 where God said he put them behind his back so they're out of the way. I read in Micah 7:19 that they're in the depths of the sea so they're out of his sight. And I read over in Hebrews 8:12, God says he'll remember them no more, so they're out of his mind. Isaiah 44:42, he says he's blotted them out, so they're out of his vision. I read in Leviticus 5:11 where he said they're forgiven, so we're out of danger. I read in Hebrews 9:26 where he put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, so they're out of action. I read in Jeremiah 1:20, they're sought for and they're not found, so they're out of being. I find in Daniel 9:24 where he made an end of sin, so they're out of continuance. And then I find in Isaiah 1:18 that whether they'll be white as snow, red as crimson, they'll be white in snow, so they're out of color and you can't detect them. And then I find in 1 John 1:7, our sins are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, so they're out of existence. Thank God. He's an unfailing Redeemer. He has an unfailing greatness. He has an unfailing fellowship. He never did say that our government wouldn't fail.
That's right.
He never did say that my friends wouldn't fail, and you can count your true friends on one hand. He never did say that my health wouldn't fail. Sometimes I think the Lord could do better. And sometimes I think I'm an old has-been in my feelings. But he never said my health wouldn't fail. He never said my money wouldn't fail. He never said I wouldn't have to go through the fire.
Right.
He never said I wouldn't have to go through the flood.
Yeah, that's right.
But he says, but if you do, I'll be with you. Right. And I'll never leave you. And I'll never forsake you. And I'd rather have that fellowship with him than any human being on the face of God's green earth. I know what it was in the wee hours of the night. Nobody but Jesus. A fella years ago, one evening, come through the woods on his horse, and he saw way out nowhere a little old cabin. And there was just a little bitty garden space, a few collards, a few turnips. And there was an old granny woman sitting in an old rocking chair with a cane and had an old fan made out of buzzard wings fanning. And he couldn't figure how she got there. And he looked at her and he said, do you live here by yourself? She said, no, sir. Said, just me and Jesus. And brother, thank God for the fellowship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I'm glad he has unfailing blood. The blood that I got in my veins tonight's not very good, because the life of the flesh is in the blood. And the thing that's wrong with me tonight physically is because there's something wrong with my blood. And the reason you get warts and moles and acne and blackheads and your hair fall out and your breath smells bad and your ears run and you get lumbago and your body creaks and your mind don't work and you can't hear good and you can't see good, it's because there's something wrong with your blood.
Amen.
They had to take the lamb before they killed it for a sacrifice. And for 4 days, the priest would watch it and scrutinize it and check it and go over it and look at it and examine it and see if he could find anything wrong with it. And when it came before the governor, he said, "I find nothing within this man." A lot of people have died on the cross. Kings and princes have died on the cross. But when Jesus died on that cross, thank God, something changed it. Overnight, a thing of beauty that lifts people and exalts people and saves people. And you know what it was? It was the blood of God that ran down that old cross, for God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. A while back I was mowing, and I was hot and sweaty. And I scratched my hand. Mowed around in a few rounds, and I thought, well, it's about time to be good to myself. I'll take a break. And I looked down, and my whole hand was just swathed with blood. And I said, "How about that? An O.J. Simpson bush just stabbed me." And I got to thinking about it, and I wanted to find out something. Everybody's talking about DNA, DNA. That nucleic acid in your blood. About the genes and the chromosomes and things. And I began to read the Bible and went to the library and I looked, checked everything. I didn't know half what the doctors talk about, and I know they don't. If they did, they'd have more success. Well, I got to checking in there on the blood and I found out this, that a woman's blood is, the symbol is XX. You know, that's a double cross. You know, and you women have been double crossed, whether you believe it or not. And a man's blood, you know, is XY. It's almost, but not quite, two crosses. And so a woman's been double crossed. When she has a girl child, she goes 2 weeks in her purification, then she goes 66 days to purify her bloodstream. If she has a boy, she only goes 1 week, then 33 days till her bloodstream is pure. She has to go twice as long with a girl, because when Eve sinned, Eve was deceived. She had been double-crossed. About that time, my daughter had a baby and went down the hall, and you could always tell whether the boys or girls, because boys, the room where a boy was born would have a blue ribbon. And a baby girl would have a pink or reddish ribbon. Isn't that amazing? And the Bible said, man that's born to woman is born to trouble as the sparks fly upwards. And a lot of folks, you know, when they come short of something, they say they're in the red.
Amen, boy, that's all right.
And when you get caught in some crime, you're caught red-handed. The Old Testament, when they go to move anything of the tabernacle, the first thing they do, whether it be the table of showbread, they put a blue covering over it. Them Kohathites put a blue covering over it, and one gets here and one there, one over yonder, one there, and get a hold of that thing and pick it up and go down. It looked like a flying ark. That blue sky, man, that blue.
Yeah.
That's the way I'm going to leave here.
Yeah, man.
And when some father gets ready to leave here, they'll turn blue.
Yeah.
Right. Off we go into the wild blue yonder. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Preach it.
Glory. Yeah.
Not only does he have an unfailing blood system. So as I've been washed in his blood, I mean literally washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not a figurement of speech. It's not some poetic, mystical something that we go around and talk about. It's not some pious platitude. It's just not some song that we sing that has no substance, but it's a reality and an actuality. And we're washed in the bloodstream of Emmanuel. He who's from everlasting to everlasting, washed in his blood, born of his incorruptible seed, born of his sperm. We'll never have to eat of the tree of life. There's some folks that will.
That's right.
But I don't have to eat of the tree of life because I'm born of God. I'm a son of God.
Yeah. Right.
Also, he has an unfailing return.
Preach it for you.
I see it every day. Every evening that sun goes down, buried beyond the horizon. Jesus dying on the cross. Every morning.
Yeah.
And there never has failed a morning.
That's right.
His compassion's renewed every morning.
Yeah.
And every morning there's a rising in the east. Every day proclaims it.
Yeah.
The heavens declare the glory of God, and night unto night utter speech, and the lines have gone out through the earth and through the universe, and everybody's without excuse.
That's exactly right. That's for sure, bro.
The most benighted heathen, every day of his life, he's seen the gospel being buried, being raised.
Yeah.
I love the ordinances of the church. Every time I partake of it, show forth his death until he doth come. Every time I see an old sinner put his faith in the Lord, and we stand and say in obedience to the command of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. We put him down and we raise him up. And when the Lord comes with a shout, we're going up through that body of water above the heavens to that crystal sea. Through that door into heaven.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Two angels said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing into heaven? The same Jesus that you see go away is going to come again like man."
Yes, sir.
I'm not looking for the undertaker.
Amen.
Man, I'm looking for the uptaker.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I'm not looking to the Democrats. I'm not looking to the Republicans.
Yes.
I'm looking for him that my soul loveth, that said I'm going to come again, that where I am, there ye may be also.
Amen.
Old Abraham sent his servant to get a bride for his son. And he met her over there at the well.
Yeah.
You always meet him at the well.
Yeah. That's it. Amen.
Yeah.
And she was willing to draw water for every one of his campfires. And you'll never get folks saved and people get willing. No matter what, Lord, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Whatsoever he saith unto thee, do it.
Yeah.
Saul looked up and said, Lord, what will thou have me to do?
Yeah.
I want you to go down and get on Straight Street.
Yeah.
Long come a fella named Ananias, mean grace of God.
Yeah.
And he'll tell you what thou shalt do. And he'll pray for you, and the scales will fall from your eyes.
Right. Yeah.
They kept saying, you ought to stay. He said, no, I've got to go to my master.
Amen.
He's waiting.
Yeah.
And they asked the girl, said, Rebecca, will you go with this man? And she said, I will.
Yeah.
It wasn't like the fellow and young lady standing to get married. He said, wilt thou take this woman to be thy lawful wedded wife? He said, I will. And he'd been wilted ever since. But going along the way, don't you know that journey was tiresome?
Yeah.
Don't you know it was long?
Yeah.
Don't you know it was hard?
Yeah.
Don't you know at times she thought, it was it worth it? But one evening, someone came down to meditate in the field. And one of these days, Jesus is going to step into the atmosphere of this field of this old world. And we're going to get off the camel, thank God, and we're going home. Worth it. That's enough preaching. Come on, Pastor.
Yeah, good preaching, preacher. Amen.